Hello, everyone, and welcome to Large Old Cup. My name is Corey, and you're here with me now. So today's episode, we're going to dive into the creative process. I was fortunate to have a very good creative day yesterday, so I kind of want to just take a little bit of time to talk about that and reflect on it, and let's go from there. So I live across the street from a coffee shop. I live down the street from another couple of coffee shops, and I live up the street from a few more coffee shops. I'm surrounded by coffee shops. It's not that bad. The one across the street used to be way better, and I could bitch about that all fucking day. And I know that I probably have done it on here, but we'll just quickly summarize it with, it used to be really kind of brown and dark and a little moody, and they played jazz, and then they opened it up and made it bright and light inside, and it just lost all of the fucking character that it had. And I'm sure you could say what it has now is a character, but in my opinion, it's a shitty character. So I hate what they fucking did with the place. It's still probably the easiest coffee shop for me to work in. So I am stuck with that, I suppose. I mean, I could go to Cafe Kerouac down the street, but then I'm surrounded by college kids. I could go up the street to Global Gallery. But it's, you know, it's about almost a mile and a half away. And it's like, is that really worth it just to go and sit? I could just go across the street, buy a cup of coffee, and, you know, just do what I need to do. Because if I'm working, I shouldn't be paying attention to the aesthetics. But the aesthetics are important sometimes, you know? You kind of need that vibe. Anyway, so I have been mulling around for the last few weeks these projects in my mind, which is nice. I've not had a writing project in a hot minute. Most of what I've been doing creative-wise has either been, like, planning for games that I'm running or have been audio things for either Large Old Cup like this or for the Smark Avengers that I do with John and Dylan. So I had this idea. I was in a little coffee shop, and I got a good vibe from the place because they're playing, like, 90s music. And it just felt right. And I'm like, I want to feel like this moment forever. Like, I want to bottle this moment up. I want to capture this feeling, and I want to just, like, soak in it and see what happens. So I was kind of mulling around the ideas, like, all right, what would I do in this setting? What would, what is the objective here? And maybe the objective, the conclusion I came to is maybe the objective is there is no objective, you know, this is the old saying goes that Seinfeld is, you know, the show about nothing. So what if this is a writing project about nothing? So what is nothing? Nothing is something that can sometimes be very self-referential. It can be something that is selfish. It could be something that is self-aggrandizing. So, you know, like a diary, for all intents and purposes. Not to say that your diary is self-aggrandizing or that selfish to have one, but it is a very self-centered practice. So I came up with this, and it finally got a solidified name yesterday called Henry's Usual. And Henry's Usual is a blog, I suppose, that is about a man named Henry who every Saturday morning goes to the same diner, sits in the same booth, orders the same meal, and kind of just writes a letter to Henry. Now, the question is Henry another person, or is this a diary that is disguised as writing a letter for someone? And I kind of came up with that idea because I like working in coffee shops, but you feel like such a fucking stereotype. Oh, look at me in this coffee shop writing the next great American novel. I've got my large coffee in front of me, my laptop is on, and I am putting out my genius into the stratosphere. All gather around and witness the artist at work. The artiste in process. So I was it's a cover for myself. Because, you know, Henry's Usual is, in fact, writing a letter. So it does, if someone, a casual person passing by, were to look at my laptop, they would just see that I'm writing a letter to someone. And we're getting very breaking the fourth wall-ish, I suppose. But to kind of expand on a little bit more. So Henry is not me, first and foremost. I'm creating an individual named Henry. So this is not a wish fulfillment kind of deal. This is not a disguising myself as this character kind of deal. This is me creating somebody and then diving into their psyche and rooting around and seeing what I'm pulling out in the process of it. So Henry is a Generation X washout. And the setting for this place, for this project, is a city called Lodestone. And I'll get into Lodestone a little bit further as I go. But he is someone who has been in Lodestone for his entire life. So he is, he went to college in Lodestone. He's very familiar with this city in the setting. In fact, that's something that he mentions in his first letter that I wrote, and I'll tell you where to find it at the end of the episode. But he is a local that has been around forever, and mainly a lot of what this letter is uncovering is his dissatisfaction with life. And his ongoing feeling of ennui, you know, that sense of listlessness and unhappiness. And, you know, trying to communicate that in a way to someone that might get it or might not. But what matters is the communication is happening. You know, he's attempting to express himself. So I suppose I'll get a little bit into the vibe of what it was like writing the first entry to Henry's Usual yesterday at this coffee shop. I went there and about 8-ish o'clock in the morning, and the place had a couple of seats already filled by a lot of the locals. So there's a usual cast of characters in my neighborhood who frequent that coffee shop every morning. They have their own little table set up. They sit and they gather and they talk about local politics and they talk about, you know, their family, but mainly they are very left-minded individuals kind of talking about the various injustices in the world, and I'm not going to fault them for that. Hell yeah, brother, do what you got to do. The other people that are in are sort of, you know, some students that are there early, and they're also, as the morning goes on, you start getting to see families come in, you know, a lot of, like, cool, hip young mom and dad with their kids in strollers or what have you. Across the street from this place is a bakery with a gothic themed. They've been around for a year. They're called Bite This. And they're right outside of their bakery is a 12-foot tall Halloween skeleton wearing one of their t-shirts that has been out there for, you know, the entire year. So that shirt is sun bleached. It looks like the skeleton's not wearing a shirt anymore. Like, it matches almost the bone white of it. Regardless, the place is incredibly popular. I don't know if it's an aesthetic thing. I don't know if it's a food thing. I want to assume it's a food thing. I've not eaten there myself, but they gather quite the large crowd, and there were people lined up around the corner for a majority of the morning that I was there. But anyway, yeah, to kind of put myself into that space, I had my headphones on. I had a playlist of 90s alternative rock, and trying to kind of capture that feeling of being this sort of man in his 50s now, I suppose, kind of, you know, talking about life and the things that have gone well and things that don't go well, their feelings about it and what have you. And every Saturday, I hope to have another entry up where we dive a little bit further into that or explore different angles of it. And it was just a nice little project to get started and to get posting. So I mentioned that I was going to talk a little bit more about Lodestone. So Lodestone is a fictional city that I created about a decade or so ago. In the way of William Faulkner had created a fictional city and based all of his stories out of said fictional city. Another writer I'm a very big fan of named Lewis Norden did the same thing. So I decided I wanted to kind of ape that style a little bit, and I created the city of Lodestone. Lodestone is a place that is kind of coming together into my head. I know a lot of the city layout already internally. Like, I know where the main street looks like. I know what the side streets look like. I know who certain people look like and what their names are and some of their relationships with people. Because my goal for Lodestone was to create sort of a northeast version of Twin Peaks a little bit, where a lot of what happens in Lodestone is very mundane and very boring, but there is also something dark and macabre and supernatural underneath it as well, if you dig around enough. So that kind of brings me to the next project that I've been kind of ruminating on and working on, which I am tentatively calling Letters from Lodestone, which I want to kind of treat as writing these sort of mini novellas in the style of an epistolary. So an epistolary, if you are not aware of what that is a story that is told through sort of non-conventional means. Instead of like having narrative pages of Jack said this, Jack went here, Jack did this thing to this person at this time, it is, there are letters or emails or transcripts or text messages, that sort of thing. Something that you tell a story through this sort of unconventional thing that you witness, and you kind of have to piece it together as you read it along. So there's no narrative that's kind of holding your hand and taking you down the path. Like, it's going to link up, but it's going to, you know, you'll have to work a little bit for it. So I did this previously, and I'm going to have to dig through the old Google Drive to see if I can find something I did previously, because this is not the first time I've had this idea of creating an epistolary in the city of Lodestone. I did this previously. I wrote a short story about this ghost hunting program who came to the city of Lodestone, and what happened is one of the hosts murdered his co-host and his cameraman, and through emails and transcripts and whatnot, the reader sees proof that, you know, there was, you know, a motive, there was intent. However, was it something else that might have led to this accident or to these untimely deaths? So I'm going to go digging around into the Google Drive so you can find that, maybe polish it up and post it under a, you know, on a site for Letters from Lodestone. And I also want to create some new ones and kind of treat it like seasons of a television show, kind of like True Detective or what have you, where, you know, the characters may be similar or the same. Because, I mean, the whole idea is that all of this is taking place in the same city with the same people. And the idea that the more that I write in this place, the more you get a feeling for their personalities. So it's sort of this happy combination of like doing planning sessions for D&D where you have to create a world. It's and the, like the creative writing process. So instead of like creating, you know, corrupt guards and the guy who owns the potion shop, I'm like writing out the town physician, the chief of police, the nearby, you know, the local reporters for the newspaper, etc. So it's a little more ambitious in the sense of like it's going to be taking different styles with the idea of telling a narrative purpose, whereas Henry's Usual is just sort of, we'll find out what it's about, if it's about anything, as it goes. But the thing I want to kind of take in common with them is I have long considered my art form to be spoken word. I think, you know, I've been complimented on it before that I have a good voice for audio mediums. So I want to kind of take that and run with it a little bit further. And what I mean by that is I would really like, once I get a couple of these entries like written for Henry's Usual, actually make an audio supplemental for Henry's Usual. So there would be the website where the actual texts are. And then I would have a podcast format where I would be doing like the reading, and that would allow me to, get more practice with putting things out in an audio form, It would also allow me to start putting things out to different audiences than the ones I'm currently working with. And it also allows me the opportunity to edit edit with a little more purpose. So the point of Large Old Cup is spoken word, stream of consciousness, no plan, just run in and do what we got to do. You know, don't edit it, post it immediately kind of shit. With this, I would want to actually, you know, add additional music. I would want to add background information, you know, background noise. I'd want to take on different affectations with my voice. And, you know, maybe as time progresses and if things go certain directions, maybe bring in other people to do entries as different characters. So it's not just me doing voices. So it's, like I said, it's a bit ambitious, but I think that's the goal. I think that would be a very fun thing to do. And another thing that I do kind of want to point out is it's very much in the same realm of what I've been doing, because at no point do any of my goals involve turning a profit. So, like, I have been doing these podcasts on and off now for probably 10 years. I'm on my longest string of them between, you know, Smark Avengers. We have 89 episodes that we've recorded, 87 of which have either been released or are scheduled to be released so far. This show has 30, this is episode 37. So, you know, combine that with other old shows that I did with friends and whatnot, I've got well over 100 episodes of practice underneath me. And I can tell you that I'm very comfortable with doing what I'm doing, but I also have not turned a profit, and I actually spend money doing this. I have to pay for the RSS hosting on these things, of course, you know, and the more shows I put out, the more that monthly bill goes. It's not terribly expensive, but, you know, when you're not generating a profit, you're like, all right, you know, we're gonna have to budget that in. So it's a labor of love. If it turns into something else, that's fucking phenomenal. I mean, that's what Dylan and I and John talk about all the time. Like, you know, there's a reason I think with Smark Avengers we don't use music, because we don't really want to spend money until we start earning money. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. So again, that's kind of the idea. That's the thought process behind these projects, is just kind of exploring things from a creative writing standpoint, because I've not really written creatively in a while, and also getting more into the actual audio mixing process and, like, putting in backing tracks and sound effects and getting the volume levels adjusted. Because I know that's something, like, sometimes I've noticed on these episodes, like, the intro and outro music seem to be significantly louder than the actual speaking parts that I do. So, you know, we'll get more used to it, and we'll get more practice with it, and we'll get a better flow. So, that all being said, that's what's going on creatively at the moment. I'm happy to say that I just was given approval earlier this week that I can return to working downtown, which is phenomenal for me, because for the last 8 months, my commute to and from work have been an hour both ways. So it's across town in the city of, the city I live in, Columbus. The public transit option isn't the best. So, you know, I take a bus that runs every half hour, and I have to get connections, and part of those connections were being in an area that was a little sketchy, which is great, you know, inspiration for when you're wanting to write things that are kind of macabre and whatnot. You're like, you really get a good sense for the vibe when it's, you know, like, before 6 a.m. in a not great part of the city, and you're kind of waiting. And because you're waiting in a specific spot for a specific bus, you can't really go anywhere. You know, and I've seen some wild shit there. You know, I had a man threaten me with a screwdriver. There was a dude out there who was wearing a blood-covered hospital gown, just mumbling to himself and rocking back and forth. And I will say there have been a lot of other opportunities with folks of the homeless community that they've been totally chill. No issues whatsoever. You know, a lot of them are real fucking friendly. There's just, you know, there's bad seeds in every group. And unfortunately, the bad seeds sometimes can be violent and hostile. I think the thing that really took my argument for being allowed to work downtown, not just because of the hour commute and the fact that I was walking 2 miles every day because of the distance from work location and bus stop, was the fact that a few weeks ago somebody was shot and killed a block away from where my bus stop is. I had to, like, walk past an active crime scene because the guy had been shot and killed about 2 hours before to get to my stop, and I think that was finally the kicker that, you know, allowed my management to make that decision to let me return to working downtown. So, I mean, I'm fucking jazzed. I love being downtown. I love being in the thick of the city. I love my commute going from an hour both ways to maybe 20 minutes, you know? I'm gonna love being, like, better connected because where I was working was so isolated from everything. Like, I, you know, there's places that have closed and people who passed by on shows and stuff that I didn't see because I wasn't going past the theaters or by the local businesses and whatnot. So it's just going to be a nice feeling to get back to. And what that also means is I'm going to have more of my fucking day back to do things like work on things creatively and dedicate time to improving my health and improving sleep and whatnot. Because, I mean, that was really the issue, is I've been so fucking exhausted for 8 months, you know, and I was having to make this commute and make these long walks. You know, I did it on crutches for a few weeks when I blew out my knee, you know, and I did it in below zero temperature, and I did it in 100 degree heat indexes because, I had to get to work and there were no other options. Because, you know, people are like, oh, well, you know, you could have taken a lift. It's like, well, yeah, but that's like $30 both ways. So it's either I deal with the pain and the discomfort, or I drop like $120 a week. And, you know, I'm getting bumped up to starting next month, going to the office 4 days a week instead of three. So that price is only going to get worse. So, yeah. Ultimately, it's great. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to have my fucking day back. And I'm hoping that I can dedicate as much of it to these various projects and things that I can. So Henry's Usual requires a little less planning than Letters from Lodestone. So I can kind of just knock those out on a weekly basis, I think, because it's very much like this. It's just stream of consciousness. I sat down. I got into this headspace for this guy, Henry. You know, guy in his late 40s, early 50s, and listening to the music that he listened to when he was younger, and I just went with it. And the difference between that and Letters from Lodestone is Letters from Lodestone is going to require a lot of work, a lot of planning for it. So I'm world building. I need to create, you know, this ecosystem of this city. I need to know who the mayor is. I need to know who the deputy mayor is. I need to know their relationship. I need to know who's in charge of the police. I need to know the editor of the newspaper and the reporters, which ones fall in line with, you know, obeying the structure that's ahead of them, and which ones are the young upstarts that are rebellious. I need to know who the notable people in town are, for good or worse. Like, who's the crazy old man and who's the town troublemaker? You know, like, I need to know this information so that when I start creating these pieces of evidence that tell the story and then tell the ending of the story, I have an idea of where it's all going. So that's something, like I said, I'm looking into getting into the weeds on. Another just sort of silly thing that I'm doing is I am crafting a fake playlist on Spotify to play a prank on myself. Everybody has those songs that get stuck in their fucking head forever, and no matter what you do, it'll always, like, work its way back in. Spotify has a playlist that auto-generates for you called On Repeat, and it's usually, like, just the songs that you like to listen to and over again. I'm making an On Repeat playlist for those songs that get stuck in your head that you don't want to be stuck in your head, and I'm gonna make the thumbnail for the playlist the thumbnail for the On Repeat playlist, and I'm gonna title the playlist On Repeat, and I'm basically just gonna play cruel prank on myself one day when I'm not gonna be paying attention, and then I hit the fucking play song and it's Hurt So Good by John Cougar Mellencamp, because that song has been stuck in my head for a fucking year and it makes no sense why. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan at all. So we'll get into the Song of the Week recommendation already. We got a couple of minutes to spare, so we can really dish a little bit about this. I have been kind of in my Gen X alternative 90s stuff lately, mainly with trying to get into Henry's headspace. So I've been listening to a lot of like Superchunk and stuff, and they just put out a new album, but they were a recommendation of the week not that long ago, so I don't want to use them again. Instead, I had a conversation recently with someone where I said, you know, here's a band that I liked one song from, and then nothing else I liked from them ever fucking connected with me. And that song was Feel the Pain by Dinosaur Jr., which, if you haven't heard the song, you have. You've heard it in the background of something, or you've seen it or heard it in a commercial or something. You've heard it. Trust me, you have. But it's a great song, and it's got this listless kind of melody, and it's just, I feel like it captures a lot of like that kind of 90s aesthetic, because that's, of course, what fucking decade it was from. But I think it just captured the mood and the energy of what I'm looking for this project. Now, here's the issue. That is not the song recommendation of the week. Because I made an ass of myself, and I said, I've never liked another song by Dinosaur Jr. I've only ever liked that one. Everything else sounded like crap. While I was sitting in the coffee shop yesterday, on that playlist that you know, populated for me, I actually did find another Dinosaur Jr. song that I liked. And it's called In a Jar. So the song recommendation of the week is In a Jar by Dinosaur Jr. It's the story, the lyrics seem to tell the tale of a guy in a one-sided relationship who, for all intents and purposes, exists to make this other person feel better about themselves or to calm them down or to comfort them, because they keep him in a jar, and occasionally they keep him near so they can pat him on the head while he, you know, helps them through all of their bullshit. And I think we've all been in situations where we felt like some people were taking us for granted on things like that, whether real or imaginary. The feeling is there, and the feelings are real. So that's the song recommendation of the week. It is In a Jar by Dinosaur Jr. Thank you all for listening. If you have an opportunity, check out my other show, Smart Avengers. You can find Henry's Usual at Tumblr. So if you look for tumblr.com/Henry's Usual, you'll find it and you'll read the first entry. Until then, though, stay recklessly brave, and I'll see you guys next episode. Goodbye.